Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open your Bibles with me to Acts, the second chapter. Acts chapter 2, we're going to begin with verse 41. Acts 2:41 will be the passage that we will study today. And while you're turning there, I want to acknowledge a couple of little ones that have just come into the family here. It's a girl. Ella Catherine Lambert was born September the 4th, 6 pounds, 6 ounces. Proud parents, John and Rebecca Lambert. Can we give the Lamberts a welcome and a congratulations? And then this was a blessing for me. For the first time, I got to meet Ethan and Jasmine Holt's little boy, who's here. They went to China to adopt little Caleb Everett Chingron Holt. Can we welcome little Caleb to North Central? What a treasure. We have been looking at our purpose, and today we come to the end of it as we celebrate our 80th anniversary. The Tabernacle Baptist Church was started September the 8th, 1935. And here we have experienced 80 years of ministry and 80 years of reaching our community and touching the world. Our mission statement now is reflecting Christ's light to Gainesville and the world. It's not just enough to have Gainesville on our radar. We have to touch the world. And we have been looking at the Great Commission of our Lord, because here's what is important. Time is limited, and you find an outline in your bulletin to help you follow along, because today kind of summarizes it all. Time is limited. The stakes are high. Our commission is clear. Because time is limited, it's important that we know our purpose. It's important that as a church family, we all get aligned with the purpose of our church. As much as we love just gathering together and fellowshipping together, that's wonderful. We do that, and we enjoy that. We have to make sure, because time is limited, because the stakes are high, people's eternity is in the balance, we have to make sure that our purpose is what we're after. When you live on purpose, you know what really matters, and you can eliminate all the rest. Focus brings effectiveness. A magnifying glass with sunlight can bring warmth, but if you focus it, you can start a fire. And in the same way, a church can just do some good things, but if we get focused, we can set a city on fire and a world on fire with the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you live on purpose, you can measure your effectiveness. In Matthew chapter 28, we're given the Great Commission, and this is our ultimate purpose: to make disciples of all people. Making disciples of all people. Now, we do that by going. Number one there in the review, going. That's evangelism. This is sharing on purpose, sharing the gospel on purpose. Because we are on purpose together as a church family. In our first week of Bible study, we talked about the word ekklesia, which is the word in the New Testament for the church. It is used many, many times, and there are two basic meanings to that word. One meaning is the church at large, all of the Christians that have ever lived in all history. That is called the church. Those people together make up the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But often in the New Testament, matter of fact, more often than the other way, the church is used for a local body of believers. One of the Bible books may say the church at Galatia, the church at Ephesus, the church at Thessalonica. And so they're talking about a local New Testament church. So we are to be going. This is sharing on purpose. It involves verbalizing the gospel. It involves outreach to the community and the world. It involves welcoming people to the church, being a welcoming church. And I'm so thankful that our church has that reputation. What is our core value as a church related to going? Passion for the unreached. What is it that drives us to tears? What is it that drives us to go? What is it that drives us to give? What is it that drives us to sacrifice our time and our efforts? Our time, our talents, and our treasure. I tell you what it is. It is a passion for the unreached. And the reason is that that is the passion of our Lord. And if we follow the Lord Jesus, then that will be our passion. The second thing is teaching. Teaching, that's Bible study. This is learning on purpose. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you is the way that Jesus put it in the Great Commission. This involves studying God's blueprint for life together, becoming equipped to feed ourselves spiritually, learning what it means to study the Bible on our own, and then seeing God change people in the church. Our core value under this step towards our purpose is life transformation. We're all on a journey, and ladies and gentlemen, if we're exactly where we were 20 years ago in our commitment and our love for Jesus and our Christ-likeness, then we're not fulfilling our purpose. We're all on a journey, and we need to be seeing lives transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. So one of our ways to reach our purpose, on the way to our purpose together, is by teaching. So going, teaching. And then the third one is baptizing. Now, that involves fellowship. In the New Testament, when someone is baptized, and we're going to baptize here in just a minute, when someone is baptized, they come into the local church. That is a way they become a part of the local church. Baptism does not save us, but it is a way in which we identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. I wear a wedding band because in 1982, Kelly and I stood, I was going to say at this altar, we weren't in this building, Steve, we were in another building, but we stood at the altar like you guys did, and we said, I do, and I put on this ring bought by Chick-fil-A paychecks. Okay? Squeezing lemons. Anybody work at Chick-fil-A here? Look, we got some folks that work at Chick-fil-A or have worked at Chick-fil-A. Let me see. Okay, all right. Anyway, Kelly worked at Chick-fil-A, I think, long enough to save up the money for this. And so I put this on. Now, is this what makes me married? No, I'm still married if I set it right there. But I put it on as an outward sign of what has happened in me. And I came into the fellowship of the church when I was baptized. And so baptism does not save us, but it is a picture of what Christ has done in our lives. And here's what this involves. It involves living in community with one another. It means living life alongside one another and encouraging one another. It involves including all believers in the community of support. It involves assimilation of new people into the church. Our core value with this purpose is relationships. We value the relationships we have with one another. That's one of the reasons that our life groups are so important, because in those life groups, we build relationships with one another. The fabric of life comes together and our lives become intertwined so that we can encourage one another, we can pray for one another, we can live life together. When we have the ups, we rejoice with those that are rejoicing. When we have times of discouragement, we can encourage one another in those times. And that's why fellowship is so important. We are called to belong, just not believe. There are no Lone Ranger Christians. Did you hear me? There are no Lone Ranger Christians. David Platt, our new International Mission Board president, said this: there's one universal need of all people, and that is to belong. It doesn't matter what culture you're in, people want to belong. So our third purpose is baptizing. That's fellowship. This is living on purpose. And then the core value is relationships. Now, in our day and age of social media, folks, listen to me, more people say they feel alone than ever before. 25% say they have no one to turn to as a confidant, no friend to turn to in this culture, particularly in our American culture. And more people link their depression to loneliness than ever before. The number of socially isolated Americans has doubled since 1985. Now, one key passage in Scripture that we see the community displayed in the local church is in Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. And I'd like you to follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read from my copy of God's Word. It says in verse 41, "Then those who gladly received His Word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." Verse 43, "Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and they had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and giving favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Number one in your outline, fellowship involves need. The Bible says, as anyone had need. There are those that have needs. The church at large has certain needs sometimes. But the Bible says they were all together, the Scripture says. You know, in chapter 1, verse 15, it says, "And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether, the number of the names was about 120. There were 120 disciples at that time. In chapter 2, verse 1, it says this, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." So they were together. One of the things that happens in a church is we come together. But now listen, they gathered. They gathered. We do that in the main auditorium corporately. We do it in small groups. And we do it in even smaller groups. Our church has been organized in these life groups. And from that, there have been discipling relationships that have developed. We've had three bound cord groups that have been organized and developed in the past. And these are opportunities for us to grow and to gather together. So we gather corporately, all together. We gather in life groups. And then we gather in other discipling relationships and friendships. But now the great enemy of this is an individualism or a me-ism. It's kind of like this. It's kind of like a toddler who says this to mom and dad. "Hey, mom and dad, thanks for bringing me into the world, but I'll take it from here. I can eat solid food now, and most of the time I make it to the potty. So I'm just going to be on my own. Can I have $25 and drop me off downtown, and I'll be fine?" Hey, listen, that toddler would never make it. Why? Because that toddler needs a family. And can I tell you this? Anyone that would say, "It's just Jesus and me. It's just Jesus and me." They have not read the New Testament. They have not studied the New Testament. And there is a momentum in the American culture today that says, you know, all I need is just Jesus and me. I don't need a church. Now, I grant you, and I understand this because I have seen this. I know that the institutionalized church in America has burned a lot of people. I know that. But just because there are some quack doctors doesn't mean you don't ever go to the doctor. Just because there are some attorneys that maybe are not as on the up and up doesn't mean you may not need an attorney one day. So I want to encourage you, just because there are some churches that have burned people before, or pastors that are off their rocker, and there are many of them. I can say that I are one, okay? Let me say this. It doesn't mean that the Lord Jesus did not establish, listen to me, the local church for you to plug into, because the Lord did not make Lone Ranger Christians. Everyone needs a local church to be on purpose together with them. So the great emphasis is unity. Now, it involves need. Sometimes we get a little nervous about this passage that says they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. Verse 45. That little phrase, as anyone had need, is in the middle voice, listen, emphasizing the volunteer spirit of that giving. It does not mean that they once and for all sold everything they had and just brought it all to the church. Oh, no. What it meant was when there was a need, the people responded. So fellowship involves need. And I tell you what, I have seen that in action in the life of this church. As people have needed in prayer need, we respond. As people have needed other help, we have responded. And so fellowship involves need. And there's a great emphasis upon unity. You know, when we built our educational building out here, the church came together and we gave. And we, right now, we're after paying off our indebtedness. And I just want to remind you of something that is a tremendous blessing. In your bulletin, it shows that we're at almost $600,000 in the bank to go up against the note of this particular building. We're at 50% plus. That is really a miracle, and our church has responded to that need. This is a season in our life when our church has responded to that, and so we are involved in that. And I encourage you to know that God uses His people in this way. So it involves need. Number two, fellowship involves purpose. In verse 46, it says, so continuing daily with one accord. Verse 46. That phrase, one accord, is commonly used in Acts to express unity of purpose and particularly applies to the one heart and mind of Christian fellowship. The community of faith that we have as a church family is built upon our purpose. Ladies and gentlemen, what is it that brings us all together? Different educational levels, different ethnicity, different places we're all from, different likes and dislikes. By the way, I think one common denominator is most of us, not all of us, most of us are pretty solid Gator fans around here, okay? I mean, most of us, okay? Now, wait a minute now. I don't want to be a lightning rod this morning, so I don't want to get anybody upset. But I was so glad we won that game. I was telling somebody last night, I said, Coach McElwain, can you pull this thing out? Because the people will be so depressed tomorrow if we don't win this game. I tell you, I've learned that in this town, man. I tell you what, you better have a jam-up service ready, Michael. When the Gators lose, man, we better come in here red hot, man. Because I tell you, it's just a downer. And I was so glad we won that game. They pulled that thing out. That was awesome. I tell you what, we got some work to do, don't we? But anyway, it's gonna be good. But listen, let me say this: fellowship involves purpose, one heart, and one mind. And ladies and gentlemen, when our purpose is to make disciples and everything we do revolves around that, God will bless us and give us laser accuracy in reaching the goals that the Lord Jesus has placed upon us. Now, it's interesting. Number three, fellowship involves location. Because in verse 46, it says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple. Notice that. In the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Can I tell you this, that the early church, they not only met corporately, we read about that in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. They met all in one place. So that's what we're doing. We're meeting all in one place corporately. Hey, fellowship involves location, or should I say locations, plural. We're meeting corporately, but can I tell you this? The church of the Lord, we gather in our life groups. We gather in homes. We fellowship together in homes. The early church went from house to house. They were not like us in the sense that they had necessarily one place that they gathered like we do in most churches throughout the world. There's a place the whole corporate body, the whole local church gets together. but they also met from house to house. Fellowship involves multiple locations. Can I say this to you? Listen, if all we're doing is gathering corporately in one giant room, we're missing the New Testament pattern of fellowship. The New Testament pattern has us not only gathering corporately, but it also has us gathering in groups. The Lord blesses when God's people gather in groups when they're on purpose. But I do want you to notice this in verse 46. They gathered in one accord in the temple. When you first look at that, you think, well, that was their church. Well, that was the Jewish temple. And these were believers that had been Jews that had come out of the Jewish temple. They were still Jews, but they had given their life to Jesus Christ, and they were used to going to the temple. The scholars are convinced that the believers went to the temple because that was the place that they could evangelize all the people they had known. So this is kind of a picture of doing some things on a large scale that is around those that don't know the Lord so that we can be a witness. This reminds me of having evangelistic meetings. It reminds me of maybe when Dr. Billy Graham would come to town and the people would gather in a place, or being a witness on the campus where there are 50,000 plus college students, 15,000 plus right over here at Santa Fe, where we go and live out our lives in the places where the unchurched are and we share Jesus Christ with them. So they gathered in the temple, not necessarily for their Christian worship. They gathered there in order to be a witness. So we gather in homes, we gather in life groups, we have discipleship relationships. Hey, listen, think about this in our church. We've gathered in homes before. We've gathered here at church. We've gathered at the beach. You can tell people when you're out and about, tell people, yeah, my church, we meet at the beach, man. We meet at the beach sometimes. We better say this, once a year we've done it, okay? I don't want to act like we go all the time. Now, some of y'all are going more than you should, and you're missing church to... Okay, that's another sermon. But anyway, and we gather at the park. Y'all remember going to Canapaw Park? The church at North Central gathered at the park. So the fellowship involves location. Number four, fellowship involves time. Can I say this? You cannot make disciples on just one day a week. It has to impact your daily life. Now, I want you to notice this and just fill this in here. In the book of Acts, the church in Acts was busy living out their Christian life. Are you ready for this word? Daily. It's all over the book of Acts. The New Testament church is characterized as a daily church. They met daily. I think the scriptures are there for you. They met daily. They cared daily. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to schedule church every day, okay? But what it does mean is that in your discipling relationships and your friendships and the fellowship we share together, it would not be unusual for you to have interaction with God's people every single day. They met daily. They cared daily. In Acts chapter 6, verse 1, it talks about them ministering to the widows daily. They won souls daily. Acts 2:47. The Bible says in Acts 17, they searched the scriptures daily. And then the Bible says they increased in number daily. Their Christian faith was a day-to-day reality, not a once-a-week routine. Folks, listen, we have to put an emphasis on this, because if we're not careful, we come to the mentality that church is just a once-a-week event. Can I say this? The Lord, you are the church. This building is wonderful. This is a gift from God. But I don't think the presence of God stays in here when there's nobody here. Because the Bible teaches that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, those that have trusted in Christ. So you take the Holy Spirit with you. You take the presence of God with you. But it involves time, and it's not just a once a week routine. So we see all of this in verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Well, we're about to do that. Amen? We're about to eat our food with gladness and simplicity of heart. And then, number five, we're almost done. Fellowship involves praise. Praising God. When we gather corporately, we lift our voices in praise and adoration to God. We praise the Lord through our fellowship, through our music, through our preaching, through our praising and praying. We praise the Lord. So fellowship involves praise. And then number six, the last thing, and this is when it is amazing. This is when it is a beautiful picture. Fellowship is contagious. Fellowship is contagious. Because in verse 47 it says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Verses 43 through 46 of our passage give an ideal portrait of the young Christian community, witnessing the Spirit's presence in the miracles of the apostles, sharing their possessions with the needy among them, sharing their witness in the temple, sharing themselves in the intimacy of table fellowship together, which we're about to enjoy in just a moment. Church, look at me. This is what we call community. Living life together, loving one another, caring about the needs of others, wanting the best for others, believing the best about others. Now, our life groups are small groups within the larger church in which people connect and do life together. They build friendships, they learn God's word, and they serve and participate in missions. My prayer is that next week would be a fantastic beginning. You say, well, I've really not been in a life group. I want to say this to you. I want you to take the risk, and I want you to go. And life group members, I want you to do everything in your power to reach out to someone new to become a part of your life group. Because this is the place that we have established in our church to be the place of connection where friendships are built, missions takes place, ministry takes place one to another. So I encourage you to be here next Sunday morning at 9:30. The power of community. We are to make disciples of all people. We do it by going, we do it by teaching, but we do it by baptizing, which symbolizes community and fellowship, bringing people into the body of Christ and training them.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.